ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 हरे कृष्ण। We completed the first 12 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. In the first 6 chapters, Krishna prominently emphasizes on Karma Yoga. And in the middle 6 chapters, 7 to 12, Krishna describes Bhakti Yoga in great detail. And in these last 6 chapters, 13 to 18, Krishna describes Jnana Yoga in detail. So ultimately, the essential and conclusive instruction of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is bhakti, or devotional service unto the Supreme Lord. So, in the middle 6 chapters, Krishna described bhakti yoga with the precise natures of jiva, the Lord, and the matter. He described the Lord, he described the jiva, and also prakriti in substantial detail. And how all this can be dovetailed in Krishna Bhakti, all that he described in the middle 6 chapters. And in the first 6 chapters, Krishna described how karma can lead to bhakti. In the last 6 chapters, Krishna will describe how jnana can lead to bhakti. The middle 6 chapters are bhakti itself. Okay. So, jnana mixed with bhakti is described in the last 6 chapters. So, and he also indirectly shows in this last 6 chapters that bhakti is the supreme. All your jnana should facilitate to develop your devotion towards Krishna. Just merely developing knowledge about the Lord and the jiva and the prakriti are not sufficient. We should dedicate yourself to God also. After knowing so much, what are you supposed to do? You are supposed to serve the Supreme Lord. Okay, that is also mentioned. In the 13th chapter, Krishna describes detailed knowledge about 3 things. Prakriti, Jiva and Paramatma. Prakriti specifically indicates the material body of the living entity. So, in the first shloka, Arjuna asks 6 questions about these 3 things only. We'll discuss. Arjuna uvacha,
Arjuna uvacha,
prakritim purusham chaiva,
prakritim purusham chaiva,
kshetram kshetragnam eva cha,
kshetram kshetragnam eva cha,
etadveditum icchami,
etadveditum icchami,
jnanam gneyam cha keshava,
jnanam gneyam cha keshava,
etadveditum icchami. Arjuna says, I am very desirous of understanding these subjects. What are they? Number 1. Prakritim. What is material nature? Purusham chaiva. Purusha is the Supreme Lord, the enjoyer of Prakriti. So, Prakriti is material nature. Purusha is the enjoyer. Third point. Kshetram. Kshetra is a field. And Kshetra, specifically here, is the field of activities, which is the material body. Krishna explains. So, I want to know about Prakriti, Purusha and Kshetra. Fourth question. Kshetragnam. Okay, I also want to know the knower of this body. Knower of the field. Fifth thing. Jnanam. What is knowledge? Gneyam. What is the object of knowledge? Or the knowable thing. So, 6 terms are used. Oh, Krishna, I wish to know elaborate description of these 6 items. 1. Prakriti. 2. Purusha. 3. Kshetram. 4. Kshetragna. 5. Jnanam. 6. Gneyam. 6 points. So Krishna will describe. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Idam Shariram Kaunteya.
Idam Shariram Kaunteya.
Kshetragnam Ityabhidhiyate.
Kshetragnam Ityabhidhiyate.
Kshetram Ityabhidhiyate.
Kshetram Ityabhidhiyate.
Etadyo Vettitam Prahu.
Etadyo Vettitam Prahu.
Kshetragna Iti Tadvidaha.
Kshetragna Iti Tadvidaha.
In the second shloka, Krishna answers 2 questions. Okay. Arjuna asked about 6 topics. Kshetra, Kshetragna, Prakriti, Purusha, Jnanam, Gnayam. So of these six topics, Krishna will begin answering about Kshetra and Kshetragna. Arjuna says, Krishna says, Idam Shariram Kaunteya Kshetram Ityabhidhiyati. What is Kshetram? The Sharira is Kshetra. So the Sharira is the field of activities. So only by the Sharira means body, this material body, you perform so many activities. So Kshetram is body, material body. Okay. Then second point, Kshetragna. Etadyo vettitam prahuhu. The person who understands this Kshetra, or the person who is in knowledge of this field of activities called material body, he is called Kshetragna. Kshetragna is the soul and Kshetra is the body. Okay. Kshetra is field or field of activities, which is material body. Kshetragna means the knower of the field of activities, which is the soul. So these are the two terminologies. Kshetragna iti tadvidaha. So Kshetra is the body of a conditioned soul. Okay, here specifically conditioned soul is described. A conditioned soul acts through the material body. To fulfill all his desires, he has a body. In the spiritual plane, the distinction between the soul and body is not there. So the person is pure spirit. Okay, there is no difference between body and soul and all there. The body itself is also spiritual. But here there is a distinction. Inside the body is the soul, which is spiritual, and this external body, which is made of matter, is temporary. Right? It's not eternal. So this Kshetra is the body, and the person who is living in the Kshetra is the conditioned soul, which is the knower of the body. So this indicates that the soul is entrapped in a body which is made of material nature. So this body is a product of earth, water, fire, air, ether, intelligence, ego, mind. So body has two parts. One is gross body, second is subtle body. Gross body is made of these five gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. And the subtle body is made of three subtle elements, which are the man, buddhi and ahankar. So the soul is entrapped in these two material, gross and subtle bodies, which are products of material nature. Okay. So according to his capacity to dominate material nature and enjoy sense gratification, the living entity is given a particular type of body. So different souls, different conditioned souls have different capacities to dominate material nature or enjoy sense gratification. Okay. Now the way a king can enjoy sense gratification, an ordinary citizen may not be able to enjoy. Okay. So, depending on one's capability to enjoy, capability here indicates that a person's deep desire, how much he wants to lord over, how deep are his inclinations to imitate God, how deep is his impetus to lord over this material nature and control people and control all the material elements and use them for sense gratification. So, some people want to eat the flesh of other living entities a lot. So God gives them the body of a tiger or a lion, by which they can fulfill that propensity of meat eating to the fullest extent. Okay, tiger will not eat grass. Okay, like cows, the tiger will eat flesh only. So the propensity to eat like that is there. So one may get a body of a cruel animal like tiger or lion or jackal or fox, etc. The capacity to which a fox can eat is not as much as the capacity to which a tiger can eat flesh. So fox is very small in the tiger is so huge. Okay, so like that, depending on one's capacity to enjoy, depending on one's inclination to enjoy, different human bodies and different non-human bodies are made and they are given to the conditioned soul. Okay. So that is the field of activities. Through that body, the soul starts operating. So that body is used in so many pursuits for sense gratification. So therefore, the body is Kshetra, or the field of activity for the conditioned soul. Kshetra literally is a field. Here the field of activities, which is material body. Only through a material body you perform so many activities. Okay. And Prabhupada writes, about Kshetrajna. Kshetrajna is the soul, means the knower of the body. Jna means one who is in knowledge of. Kshetrajna means one who is in knowledge of the Kshetra, or the field of activities, body, which is the soul, individual soul. So he is different from the body. Kshetrajna is different from Kshetra. The person who knows the body, the knower of the body, is different from the body itself. But in the spiritual realm, there is no difference between the body and the soul. It's entire spirit. But here it is different. So Kshetra, or the field, is a non-permanent material thing, while the Kshetrajna is eternally spiritual being, living entity. Fine. So those who think that body is the self are not knowers of field. One who thinks that I am this body is not the real Kshetrajna. The real Kshetrajna is a person who understands the difference between Kshetra and Kshetrajna. I am not this body. I am different from this body. This could be my body temporarily for a while. And after a while, at the time of death, I will have to leave this body. So this is not my body eternally. This is my body for a temporary amount of time. So one has to take care and maintain the body in good health and all that as long as one is dwelling in the body. But one has to identify oneself as different from the body as an eternal servant of the Lord. But if the bodily conception is so much, then you cannot be called technically as a real Kshetrajna. Okay. So, those who think the body is the self are not knowers of the field, since they do not know the real nature and function of the body. The body is meant to be utilized in God's service, because the soul is a fragmental part of God. Krishna says, Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. Soul is a fragmental part of God. Then the body is also a product of God's energy. So all these elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, came from Mahavishnu's body. You know that. You have already studied the second canto of Bhagavatam, where the universe comes out of Mahavishnu's body. Initially it is in the form of Pradhana, a small seed. Then it gets transformed into Mahatattva. Mahatattva gets transformed into Ahankara. Ahankara and the three modes will give rise to all 23 elements. Of them, earth, water, fire, air, ether are the five gross elements. So this material body is made of this earth, water, fire, air, ether. So the elements to make this body are also coming from the Lord. And the spirit soul within the body is also coming from the Lord. So the source of both Kshetra and Kshetrajna is the Supreme Lord. Is God. Is Mahavishnu. Okay. To be more technically precise. Who is an expansion of Krishna. So Kshetra and Kshetrajna. Kshetra is the body, Kshetrajna is the soul. Both are coming from the Supreme Lord. Fine, is it clear? Now, it's not that there is only one Kshetrajna. There are two Kshetrajnas. Kshetrajna is one who knows the body, is Kshetrajna. One who knows the Kshetra is Kshetrajna. So we said that individual soul is the Kshetrajna. But Krishna says there is another Kshetrajna in the third sloka. Kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi.
Kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi.
Sarva kshetreshu bharata.
Sarva kshetreshu bharata.
Kshetra kshetrajna yor jnanam.
Kshetra kshetrajna yor jnanam.
Yattad jnanam matam mama.
Yattad jnanam matam mama.
In this third sloka, Krishna introduces another Kshetrajna. Kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi. Mam means me. Here Krishna is saying that I am also Kshetrajna. I am also the knower of body. Because within this body, there is soul and there is super soul also. The soul is the knower of body, the super soul is also knower of the body. In fact, super soul is a better knower of the body than the soul. When the soul is in bodily conception, the soul cannot exactly understand this field of activities, the body. But the super soul always understands this body in truth. Okay? So, Kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. And the individual soul may be the knower of the body, but only one body. I am not the knower of your body. I know something about my body only. I don't know anything about your body. If I am a doctor, I may know something about your body when you get deceased. Otherwise, I have no connection with the other people's body. But the Supreme Lord, as super soul, stays within the bodies of every single living entity. So he is the knower of all bodies. Kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. Krishna as super soul is the knower of all the bodies of all the living entities in the entire cosmos. Next, the body consists of the senses. This body consists of the senses. This field of activities has all the senses, hands, legs. There are 5 knowledge senses and there are 5 working senses. You know that. And Krishna is called Hrishikesha, means the master of senses. So Krishna is called master of senses or the controller of senses of all bodies. Your senses, if your sense control, your senses may be under your control. But your sense, other people's senses are not under your control. So, but Krishna is the master of everybody's senses. Out of the 2 knowers of the body, Super Soul is the Pradhana Kshetrajna. He is the primary knower of the body. But the soul is not Pradhana. He is not the primary. He is the secondary knower of the body. Okay, he is not, he also does not know completely. So the Super Soul is the original proprietor of the body, but the soul is only a secondary proprietor. Just like king is the primary proprietor of the entire kingdom. And a citizen is a secondary proprietor of some things in the kingdom. Okay. Government can seize somebody's property if somebody is not following the laws of the government, right? So, and a citizen also is the proprietor of just one small building only. But the king is the proprietor of the entire kingdom, is it not? Similarly, Krishna or the Super Soul is the proprietor of everything in the entire cosmos, while other living entities are proprietors, secondary proprietors of their own bodies. Within this body, there are so many other people also living. So many germs are living, so many worms are living. So, now only we are not living in this body. We may be prominently seen, but there are other germs and cells that are living. So, the Supreme Lord is the original controller, we are secondary controllers. He is the original knower, we are secondary knowers. He is the supreme knower of all the activities of all the bodies. So, Krishna, in the second half of this shloka, he also defines the third term called Jnanam. So far, Arjuna asked how many questions?
Six
questions. One about Kshetra, second about Kshetrajna. So these are answered already. Next, he also asked about Jnanam and Jnayam. So now Krishna will describe Jnanam in the second half of third verse. Third verse, you see the third line. Kshetra Kshetrajnayor Jnanam Yattat Jnanam Matam Mama. The Jnana means the knowledge of Kshetra and Kshetrajna. Means the knowledge of the body and the soul and the super soul. Three things. So having knowledge about the body and the soul and the super soul. That is perfect knowledge. Yattat Jnanam Matam Mama. That is real Jnanam. Not Jnanam is not just developing knowledge about the body. Okay. Somebody may have knowledge about how to construct a building, civil engineer. Somebody may have knowledge about how these phones and gadgets work. Somebody may have knowledge about some other element. Somebody may have knowledge about agriculture and how plants are grown. So all these are very wonderful aspects of knowledge. Okay. And a doctor may have very better knowledge about the body. So these are all fields of activities. So we should not just develop knowledge about fields of activities which are material bodies and material entities. We should also have spiritual knowledge. We should also, in this plant, there is a soul. That's why it is growing. When the soul is gone, then the plant will die. So in this body, there is a soul. If the soul is gone, the body will deteriorate. Body will die. Okay. So we need to have knowledge not only about the Kshetra, the different bodies in this world, we should also have knowledge about Kshetrajna. And Kshetrajna is 2 types, soul and super soul. So having knowledge, Jnanam means having knowledge about body, soul and super soul, all 3. Matter, spirit and controller of both. Matter is the material body, which is Kshetra. Spirit is the spirit soul and controller of both, Hrishikesha, is Krishna. He is the origin of both matter and spirit. Fine. He is the origin of all the souls and all the bodies of the souls also. Kshetra Kshetrajna Yor Jnanam Yattad Jnanam Matam Mama. Is it clear? So perfect knowledge is knowledge of the soul and super soul and the material body. That is Matam Mama, Krishna's opinion. So we will understand more of it in the 15th chapter also. Real knowledge is to know that the super soul is the controller of both the field of activities and the finite enjoyer. The Lord is infinite enjoyer, while the soul is finite enjoyer. Okay. So that completes the third shloka. We'll come to the fourth shloka. In the fourth shloka, Krishna says, Tat kshetram yaccha yadrikcha
yadkshetram yaccha yadrikcha
yadvikari yatascha yat sachayo yat prabhavascha tat samasena meshruno. In this fourth shloka, Krishna promises Arjuna that he is going to describe six topics. Six topics he will describe about what Arjuna has asked. Arjuna asked about six subject matters. About Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Jnanam, Gneyam, then Prakriti and Purusha. Six things. Now, evening you can put a board here. In next class we can put a board. Tat Kshetram Cha Yadrikcha. So, Yatcha means the composition of body. Tat, okay. Tat kshetram cha. So, Krishna says, I am going to speak six topics about kshetra and kshetrajna. Just two subject matters is elaborating. Kshetra and kshetrajna. So, there are six things about the kshetra and kshetrajna. So, number one, yatcha means the composition of the body. Number two, yadrikcha. Yadrikcha means the qualities of the body. Number three, yadvikari. Vikari means the changes or transformations of the body. Next, yatascha. Yataha is origin of the body. The body originated from what? Sachayo yat prabhavascha. So, yat prabhava means powers of the knower of the body. Then, swarupa means yat. Yat means the swarupa or the identity of the knower of the body also, he will say. So basically, Krishna promised Arjuna that he will speak six topics about this kshetra and kshetrajna. Number one, composition of the body, which Krishna describes in the sixth shloka. Number two, qualities of the body, Krishna describes in the seventh shloka. Number three, the transformations that the body undergoes, or the changes of the body, that in the seventh shloka and 20th shloka he says. In the Gita Subodhana, I have given a table, okay? So, what are the six questions and where are they answered? Next, yataha, origin of the body. Next, identity of the knower of the body, means identity of the soul, that he will describe in 13.14 to 18. And origin of the body, he describes in 13.6, 21, 22, 30. Multiple places he addresses this topic. Then, power of the knowers of the body, yat prabhava, in 14th and 18th shloka. 14th to 18th shloka, he will describe. So, this is just like a contents table. What Krishna is going to describe in the next few verses, he just mentioned it, gave the index. Now we will discuss. So, if Arjuna wishes to know in detail, Krishna tells where the details can be found. Okay, in the next verses, fifth shloka. Rishabhir bahuda gitam.
Rishabhir bahuda gitam.
Chando bhir vividhai prithak.
Chando bhir vividham prithak.
Brahma sutraspad. Brahma Sutra Padaischaiva
Brahma Sutra Padaischaiva
Hetu Madhir Vinishchitaihi
Hetu Madhir Vinishchitaihi
Rishibhir Bahudha Gitam. Rishis means great sages. Bahudha Gitam. They, Gitam means they glorified, they sang, or they explained. Bahudha means in various ways. So great sages have described this knowledge in various ways. Where? Chandobir vividhaihi pratak. Even in their Vedic writings also they mentioned this. Chandobir. Brahma Sutra Padaischeva Hetumadbhir Vinishchitaha. So the knowledge, this knowledge has been described by authorities by many sages in various Vedic writings, especially in Brahma Sutra Padaischeva. Brahma Sutra is Vedanta Sutra. Okay. With all logic and reasoning. Hetu Madhir Vinishchitaha. So, the fifth shloka says that even Krishna also quotes authorities. He is quoting Vedic authority. He himself says, Earlier he said matam mama in one shloka. In the third shloka he said matam mama. This is my opinion. But Krishna is also quoting the authorities. So you may be authentic person, you may be bona fide person, you are authorized in a parampara. But still, every now and then, if you quote the previous authorities, your words will be taken more seriously. Yes, some people may maintain trust in you. Some people will believe what you say is correct. To the degree you are aligning with the authorities. So here Krishna did not quote any other authority. He is the supreme authority. Mattaha parataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. But still Krishna quotes authorities, Vedic authority, to substantiate his points. That gives us an important teaching that we should be quoting authority while we are discussing spiritual subject matters. Although Krishna has established his own position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the previous shlokas, he says in the third shloka, what did Krishna say? Kshetragnam chapi maham vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. He is the knower of all the kshetras in the entire cosmos. Means he knows everything. But still, he quotes some authorities, okay, to explain things. So, that's why knowledge is not acquired only from Shastra, which is the word of God. Shastras are the words of God. We should also acquire knowledge from Guru and Sadhu. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, all three are important, not only Shastra. So, you may develop a lot of scriptural knowledge. That's wonderful. You have authentic source of information. But the scriptures need to be explained by acharyas, by gurus, by sadhus who are actually practicing the principles mentioned in the scriptures. So when you develop knowledge from all three sources, guru, sadhu and shastra, then your knowledge is complete. Otherwise, we may study shastra and we may understand it according to our own perspective. But if another experienced person is explaining that shastra, we'll understand them in proper context. Okay. So, shastras cannot be changed. But according to time, place and circumstances, the principles mentioned in the shastras need to be applied. So, there are certain exceptions. Okay. So, at what time there are exceptions, a sadhu will have to confirm. That's why so many wonderful acharyas like Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, so many acharyas have given elaborate commentaries. Otherwise, shastra can be directly read. What is the need for an acharya to give a purport? So, we need to understand the shastra from people who have assimilated the essence of Shastra. Thus, what Ramanujacharya spoke, what Madhvacharya spoke, what here Prabhupada is commenting, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Baladeva Vidyabhushan, there are so many such wonderful acharyas. They have commented on Bhagavad Gita, and Bhagavatam and other Puranas and other Vedic scriptures. So, we need to take their explanations. So, Krishna is the Supreme Lord here and he is also Guru that is mentioned here. He is also acting in the role of Guru. So, as stated before, Kshetra is the field of activities and there are two kinds of Kshetragna. We discussed all this. Prabhupada speaks little bit about Annamaya, Jnanamaya and all this Brahmapuchyam. There are five kinds of koshas, right? Annamaya, Pranamaya, Jnanamaya and all this. So, Prabhupada slightly quotes them. Now, Krishna describes what is the composition of this kshetra, what is this body made of. In the 6th and 7th shlokas he says, 6th shloka,
Mahabhutanyahankaro
Buddhir avyaktame vacha
Indriyani dashaikamcha
Panchachendriya gocharaha Mahabhutani ahankaro. Mahabhuta is, this pancha mahabhutas are there, right? The five great elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. These are the mahabhutas. Bhuta is not ghost here. Bhuta is element here. So, Mahabhutani, Ahankara. Ahankara is false ego. So, body is made of all these things. Body is made of these five elements, earth, water, fire, ether. But there is subtle body also. That has Ahankara. Ahankara. Buddhir avyaktamcha. Buddhi is the intelligence. Then, avyakta means the unmanifest state of three material modes called pradhana. The pradhana also is there, which you cannot see. Okay. Next, indriyani dashaikamcha. There are 10 indriyas. 5 knowledge senses and also 5 working senses. Then pancha chendriya gocharaha, okay, and here 10 senses and also mind is included, indriyani dashaikam cha, so mind is also mentioned there. And indriya gochara means the objects of senses, which are the 5 tanmatras. What are they? Rupa, rasa, gandha, all these are there, right? So taste, sound, then sparsha, touch, all these are the 5 tanmatras, so they are also there. So 5 senses, 5 working senses, 5 knowledge senses, and 5 sense objects, and false ego, and mind, and intelligence, and the 5 material elements. So this is how the entire body is composed. Okay, our body is made of all these 24 elements. So 5 great elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. Then 5 knowledge acquiring senses, eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin. And 5 working senses, voice, legs, hands, anus and genitals. And 5 sense objects, smell, taste, touch and sound and form. And the mind, which is also 11th sense. Okay. And intelligence, false ego, pradhana. So the aggregate of these 24 elements is called field of activity. By analytical study of these 24 elements, one can understand the free field of activity. So these activities, elements of the field of activity are these elements by which all bodies are made of, are analyzed so elaborately by Kapila Dev in the 3rd canto, 26th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the, it presents Kapila's teachings, Lord Kapila's teachings. Fine. So one can understand the field of activity through that analysis. But if you just analyze material elements without acknowledging their connection with the Supreme Lord, then that analysis is material analysis. So even materialistic people or people who are not spiritually inclined, they may also analyze the body. But devotees who are spiritual seekers, they also analyze the body. But the difference in their analysis is, when non-devotees analyze the body, they don't acknowledge the connection with the body, connection between the body and God. But we analyze the connection between the body and God also. All these 24 elements are originating from the Supreme Lord. And all the bodies are meant to be engaged in the service of God. So that's how we try to explain things. Okay. So, next. 7th shloka. Ichha dveshaha sukham dukham.
Ichha dveshaha sukham dukham.
Sanghatas. Chetana
dhritihi. Sanghatas chetana dhritihi.
Etat kshetram samasena.
Etat kshetram samasena.
Savikaram udahritam.
Savikaram udahritam.
In the 6th shloka, Krishna spoke about yaccha, the composition of the body. The body is composed of all these elements. In the 7th shloka, Krishna will describe the transformations or the changes of the body. That is vikara. Vikara of the body. Okay. So what are the vikaras or changes of the body? Or the changes are caused by what? Here Krishna says, Ichha, desire. Dvesha, where is it? Dvesha, hatred. Sukham, happiness. Dukham, distress. And Sanghatas Chetana Dhritihi. Sanghata is the aggregate body evolving from the 24 elements that itself changes. Then etat kshetram samasena savikaram udahartam. The life symptoms, chetana is also included. Dhriti, convictions are also there. Okay, sanghataha chetana dhriti. Sanghata is the aggregate of elements. Then chetana is the consciousness. Dhriti is determination. All these things keep on changing. We have all these things. They keep changing. Because they keep changing, the body also undergoes a lot of transformations. Okay. So the qualities given in this shloka are not very exhaustive qualities. All the transformations of the body are the causes of transformation of the body mentioned here. Ichha, dvesha and sukham, dukham, etc. So they are not exhaustive lists. There are so many. Okay. So other qualities include determination, uncertainty, faith, faithlessness, perseverance, lack of perseverance, humility, fear, etc., etc. All these are products of mind. So the mind holds all this. Mind experiences sukham, dukham, ichha, dvesha, etc. Because of that, body undergoes a lot of transformations. Now, if you have a lot of anxiety in the mind, you have tears in the eyes. Okay? If you have a lot of anger in the mind, your eyes will become very reddish. Right? So, and your body may sweat. So, there is some other, negative feeling in the mind that is manifested in the body. Now you are very happy, okay, sukham. Then you jump up and down, okay, and you are very frustrated. Frustration is there in the mind, but that is expressed in the body. You may kick with your legs something. You may slap somebody with your hands. So the internal experiences of the body, the subtle body, the mind is experiencing something that is being manifested in the body also through the senses. So transformations are not transformations of gross body only. Transformations of subtle body also. In fact, the transformation of the subtle body will influence the transformations of gross body. Internally, within the mind, there is lust, there is greed, there is envy, there is pride. All these are manifested in one's gross body. Internally, somebody is very proud. Then he will look at other people like this, very proudly. The glances are very grave. Very down, like, means you understand through the expression of the eyes are same. When you have to paint the eyes, so you have like this, and then inside there is some ball. But eyes can reveal your mind a lot. Okay, are you fearful? Are you anxious? Are you nervous? Are you elated? Are you happy? Are you excited? Are you frustrated? So everything can be revealed through the expressions of the mind. Of course, you don't have to judge people. Somebody may be grave, maybe he's feeling shy or he's exhausted, something like that. He's hateful. Mm-hmm. So you don't guess other people's mind. Face is the index of the mind, that's fine. But you cannot completely understand what's going on in another person's mind just by seeing the face completely. It just gives some indication. Okay? But point is, there is a close connection between one's internal mind, internal body, and what the external body is undergoing. Close connection. Not everyone may be able to understand it, but all the transformations of the gross body are also dependent on the transformations of the subtle body. Although externally also the body gets affected. Internal may, somebody may be joyful, but internal body definitely influences external body also. Okay. Somebody is constantly thinking of something and he may get exhausted and emaciated. Okay? Like that. So, like that, the body undergoes different changes. And we know that popular six changes of the body, six transformations, namely birth, growth, maintenance, maturity, decline, or deterioration and death. These are six popular changes. So, in this way, Krishna spoke about Kshetra and Kshetrajna. And Jnanam also he spoke. So to summarize, Arjuna asked six questions. Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Jnanam, Gneyam, Purusha and Prakriti. Six topics he wanted Krishna to elaborate. So Krishna first elaborated on three things. Kshetra, Kshetrajna and Jnanam. So one, Kshetra. Kshetra means the field of activities, which is the material body. Kshetrajna means the knower of this body, which is the individual soul. And there is another knower of the body, that is the Supreme Lord. He is the knower of all bodies, not only one body. And having knowledge about this Kshetra and Kshetrajna means having knowledge about the body, the soul and the super soul is called Jnanam, knowledge. And this body is composed of 24 elements. Five senses, five sense objects and five knowledge senses also, five working senses also and the five material elements. All these are the composition of the body. And the body also undergoes a lot of transformations because of sukham, dukham, etc., etc. Fine. So, these are the first seven verses where we understood Jnanam and Kshetra and Kshetrajna. Now, the next five verses, 8 to 12, describe Jnanam or the process of acquiring knowledge. We'll discuss that in the next session. Hare Krishna.